5 and verse 1. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee not shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto, or whereto I send it." Now, Isaiah chapter 55 is a great chapter in the book of Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 55, there's many, many verses that I could probably just park on and preach for about an hour. And I'll try not to do that this morning, but there's a lot of good material in Isaiah chapter 55. And as you read the book of Isaiah, you find that God is constantly trying to get to the nation of Israel. And here in Isaiah chapter 55, once again, God's reaching out to Israel and trying to get Israel to turn to Him and come to Him. God has a lot of mercy, and He has a lot of love, and He has a lot of tolerance. He's very long-suffering. He goes a long, long way. And He lets things go and lets them go. And because God lets things go, people think that God's asleep and that nothing's ever going to happen and it's always going to keep going just like it's gone. And yet, the wheels of judgment turn very slow, but they grind exceedingly fine. And when God does get mad, and when His wrath and anger and vengeance finally does fall upon man, there's no holding it back. And it's a horrible, horrible thing for the wrath and anger of a holy God to fall upon a nation, to fall upon a world, as it will at the second coming, or to fall upon a man, as it will if that man dies outside of God, lost in his sin. And there will be no turning back at that point. But here in Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 1, three times, the Lord says, "Come." He says, "Everyone that thirsteth, come." He says, "If you have no money, come." And then He says, "Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Three times in that one verse, God invites the nation of Israel to come. But not just the nation of Israel. He invites all to come unto Him. And this morning, I want to preach for a few minutes on the inviting God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your Word today. I pray that You'd bless those that have come. Lord, we need Your help. I need Your help. Father, every person in here today needs Your help. Lord, we live in a world that has turned its back against You. And Father, the spiritual light is dimming and flickering and getting ready to be blown out. And Lord, one of the darkest periods of time that will ever hit this earth is going to come in the near future. I pray right now, Father, that You would shine the light of the gospel into the hearts of each and every person here today. And Father, for those that are saved, may they rejoice in their salvation. For those that aren't saved, Lord, may they see that time is running out. They need to turn to You and get saved before it's too late. Father, bless Your word. You've said that it will not return unto You void, but that it will accomplish the purpose that You send it forth to accomplish. And I pray this morning that the Spirit of God would deal with hearts, that there would be conviction here, Lord, and that, Lord, You would be lifted up and magnified in our midst. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 53, you have the prophecy on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering servant. In Isaiah chapter 54, you have the prophecy on the Gentile nations getting in on the blessings of God and bringing forth fruit, and also Israel being restored. But in Isaiah chapter 55, you find God inviting. God inviting Israel, but God inviting anyone who will come to Him. God is a God that constantly says, come. Take your Bible and look in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, in verse 18, it says this, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know what God says to the sinner? He says, come now and let us reason together. God is a reasonable God. God says that your sins are like scarlet. Your sins are red like crimson. But He said they can be as white as snow. And He says, come and let us reason about that thing. Now, I don't know whether you know anything about painting. I know nothing about painting. But I have a friend that was a painter, and he painted cars. And you know what he said? Whenever you had to repaint a car, if you had to repaint a car that was red, that's one of the hardest colors to paint over top of, because red paint will always bleed through. If you paint a car white, and it's previously being red, and you don't take that red off, and you paint the white over top of the red, that red will eventually bleed through the white. And he said, you have to neutralize it. You have to do something to it to paint it so that it won't bleed through. That red is a bleeding color. It bleeds through. And God likens our sin to that which is red and that which is scarlet. Something that will constantly bleed through. But He said, come and reason with Me and I'll show you how your sins can be covered so that you'll be white like snow, white like wool. And those sins will never bleed through. The way God does that, He does it with red. He does it with His blood. And He takes the blood and covers those sins. And when God looks at the blood, He sees somebody that has been cleansed, white as snow. He's a reasonable God. All He does is invites man, asks man, says to man, come, come, let us reason together. Have you ever gone to that reasonable God and reasoned with Him about your sin? He's made a way possible for your sins to be covered. God is an inviting God. Take your Bible and turn to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I like this verse of Scripture. Jesus Christ is speaking here in Matthew chapter 11. And once again, the invitation goes out in verse 28. He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come unto Me. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll tell you what, it seems like the rat race is getting crazier and crazier. It seems like that God's people are struggling under a load on a daily basis. So much is being put upon us, so little time to do it. I don't know what's happening. It seems like I turn around and the week is gone, the month is gone. We're already at the end of June. We'll be at the end of summer in just a few months. And where has it gone? And we get tired. And we get wore out. And we're laboring. And sometimes we're carrying a heavy load of responsibility. And sometimes we're carrying a heavy load around that the Lord says, if you'll come to me, I'll take the load. I'll take the load. Some people are carrying around a load of sin. To go along with all the other responsibilities of life that you have, one thing I'm glad I'm not carrying around is the burden of sin, the load of sin. Man, I'm free from that. The Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He didn't set me free, He made me free, and I'm free from that burden of sin. He took the burden of sin off of me 40 years ago and placed it on Jesus Christ, and I have been free of that sin. That doesn't mean that I've never sinned in 40 years. It just means I've been set free from the sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ has justified me in the sight of God. And when God looks at me, He looks at a son that is clean and pure in His eyes because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago for my sins. And when you come by faith to Jesus Christ, that blood is applied to you, and God looks at you the same way. He says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Man, if you need rest today, you'll find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes that's what we need to do. Sometimes we need to just park and rest. Sometimes we need to just get away from everything and rest in the Lord. Sometimes we just need to take note of the fact that we can rest in Jesus Christ from the hectic pace that we live. The Lord says, come. That's open to anybody. You can come to Him today and find that rest and find that peace. The last verse I want you to look at before we go back to Isaiah chapter 55 is in the book of Revelation. And in the closing words of God's book, once again, He reminds people that they can come. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The Bride is the saved people. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. You know what I say to you this morning? If you're in here and you're not saved, I say, come. Don't come to me, come to Jesus. Don't come and join this church, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the Lord. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You're a whosoever in here. Will you take of the water of life freely? I mean, it doesn't say Jew, it doesn't say Gentile, it doesn't say Muhammad, Muslim, it doesn't say Chinaman. It says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Have you drunk of the water of life? Okay, back to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, the Lord again, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come unto the waters. The Lord is inviting those that are thirsty to come to Him. But man will not take God up on His invitation. Although God throughout the ages has invited man, He's called man, He's gone out seeking men, He's pleaded with man, He's challenged man, but man in his proud, stubborn, resisting way refuses to come to an inviting God. And so He says, anyone thirsty? Anyone thirsty? Come and get a drink. Are you thirsty this morning? You might not be thirsty in a physical sense, But you know something? If you're in here and you're lost, you're thirsty in a spiritual sense. Have you ever been really thirsty? I mean, have you ever gone for a long period of time without any water and you got really thirsty? You know, if you've ever gotten really thirsty, the thing that you want is not iced tea. It's not Pepsi. It's not Diet Coke. When you get real thirsty, there's only one thing you want. You want a drink of water. And God invites the thirsty to come. If you're lost this morning, you may not be thirsty physically, but there's a spiritual thirst that's taking place inside your heart and soul. You're weary. You're tired. Sin has pressed you down. And your soul is crying out for relief. You're thirsty. One time in the New Testament, in John chapter 4, the Bible says about Jesus that He must needs go through Samaria. He went through Samaria and He came to a well. And there was nothing to draw water with out of that well. And Jesus was thirsty. And He sat on the edge of that well because He knew there was going to be someone that had a thirst come to that well. And as Jesus sat there alone at that well in John chapter 4, He sees a figure in the distance trudging down the road with a water pot in her hand. As He looked at that woman coming down that dusty road that day, He could tell by the way she walked, her shoulders slumped, her head down. She was an outcast in the society in which she lived. She came to the well at noon because no one else was going to be there at that time. It was not the time for everyone to come to the watering hole, so she came when no one else would be there, but Jesus was there that day. Jesus saw her trudging down that road, and she was a thirsty woman. And when that woman got up to the well, He said, "Woman, give me to drink." And she said, "You're a Jew, and you're asking me, a Samaritan, to give you a drink?" And He said, "Woman, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink. And I'd give you a drink, and you'd never thirst again." And they got into a religious debate, this woman debating with Jesus. By the time Jesus was done answering her questions, she got a drink of water. It wasn't water out of the well. Jesus never got a drink of water out of that well. But He gave that woman a drink of water out of His well, the spiritual well, and she ran back into town and said, "Come see a man that's told me everything that I've ever done." And she brought people out to Jesus, and they believed on Him, and they got saved. And many people that day got saved because of the testimony of that woman whom Jesus said, "If you would ask of me a drink, I'd give you a drink and you'd never thirst again." And brother, that's what we need today, that spiritual water that comes from the well of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been to that well? You may have been to many other wells. People today are drinking out of the well of sinful pleasure. They're dipping down into the well of sinful pleasure and they're taking a drink. And you know what that well does? Let me tell you what that well does. Let me tell some of you young people what that well of sinful pleasure is like. Once you take a drink of that well, it'll make you thirstier for more.
and you'll dip back into it again and again and again, and time will go by and you'll start getting older and you'll be addicted to that well of pleasure, dipping down into that well time and time again, never having your thirst satisfied, just wanting and craving more and more and more, until finally you're addicted to some sinful, wicked thing. And it's never satisfied you one time. That's what the well of sinful pleasure is like. It does not satisfy. You'll go back. But it'll never satisfy that thirst in your soul. You see, the only thing that's going to satisfy that is the living water that comes from God. Some people dip into the well of worldly desire. And the well of worldly desire does not satisfy. This world will not satisfy you. It doesn't matter what this world offers to you. It will not satisfy you. You can run after the fleeting things of this world. You can chase them down, grab a hold of them. They'll vaporize in your hand. You'll run and grab again, and they'll vanish. And you'll spend your life running after worldly desires, and they'll never satisfy your soul. The well of fame and fortune will not satisfy. That's what every movie star out in Hollywood and every rock singer and every country singer, that's what they all drink at, the well of fame and fortune. And they drink of that well, but they're never satisfied. They don't get enough, and they keep drinking and drinking. And finally, when they're old, and in Hollywood, once you hit about 30, you're old. And it doesn't matter how many times you get the facelift. And it doesn't matter how many times you try to get this body renewed so that it keeps looking young. It eventually gets old. And you know what happens to them after they've drunk at that well of fame and fortune? Many times they go out and take an overdose of sleeping pills or take a gun and blow their brains out. Kill themselves. Because that well doesn't satisfy. The well of personal success does not satisfy. Many men have sold out Jesus Christ to accomplish their goals in life. And they have run after success and run after success, and some have gained personal success in their life. But at the end of that life, when they finally have struggled and climbed to the top of the pile, they look out and see that that personal accomplishment has not satisfied the emptiness that is inside their soul. Because you see, the only thing that's going to satisfy that emptiness and that thirst that comes from your soul is to drink of the spiritual well of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there'll be rivers of flowing waters coming out from within. If any man is thirsty, if any woman's thirsty, if any young person's thirsty, you know what God says? He says there in Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that is thirsty, that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come to the waters of salvation and drink from them today." I want you to notice also that God's promise is for those that come. And in verse 3, He says this, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." God has a promise for all those that will come to Him. And the promise is this, you come and your soul will live. You come and your soul will live. God gives life. He is the author of life. The only reason you're alive right now is because God's allowed you to live. If God doesn't want you to live, you're not going to live. If God in His permissive will says, "That's it, you're done, today is your last day," you will die. Because God is the author and giver of life. He can touch your heart and make it stop. Or He can touch your heart and make it start. He can touch your brain and have you go brain dead, and touch your lungs and have those lungs cease to pump air. Life is held in the hands of God, and He can take it or He can give it. And God gives life. He's the author of life. God gives eternal life. He says, come and enjoy eternal life. He says, come and I'll give you the gift of everlasting life. If you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll give the gift of everlasting life. I'm going to die someday physically, but I'll never die spiritually. Because inside of me is a soul and a spirit. And my soul's been saved and my spirit's been quickened. And when this body dies and these eyes close in death, there's going to be a part of me that leaves this body never to return to it again, and it's going to wing its flight home to be with God, and there I'll receive another body just like the body of Jesus Christ, and I'll be in His presence forevermore. And brother, let me tell you something. I've got a soul inside me that's never going to die, but if you're lost, you're going to die not only physically, but you're going to die spiritually, because someday that soul that will leave your body and go to hell will be brought up out of hell, stood before the white throne judgment, judged in the sight of God for the works that you've done on this earth, and then He'll say, depart from me, ye cursed, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible says, this is the second death. It will not be annihilation. It'll be separation from the presence of God, which you've never known. Because see, God's presence is around you right now. And even though you don't know possibly the love of God, when you're cast out of His presence forever, it'll be a death, a spiritual death, and you will exist in the lake of fire forever. And God says, come, come, come. I'll give you life. I'll give you eternal life. He says, come, I'll make a covenant with you. In verse 3, He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Do you know what the sure mercies of David were? Man, God made a... Take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter 89. Psalm chapter 89. Man, this is a great thing, the sure mercies of David. Psalm chapter 89, and it says this in verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness thou shalt establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up the throne to all generations, Selah, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness, also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God made a covenant with David. In verse 28, God says this, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. And then in verse 36, He says, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. Now God made a covenant with David. And that covenant was, David, I'm going to make sure that there's a seed that comes from you that is going to sit on that throne that you're sitting on, and he will sit on that throne forever and ever and ever and ever. And that's the covenant that I'm going to make with you. And you know, after God made that covenant with David, he went out and sinned a horrible sin. He had Uriah the Hittite killed. He took Bathsheba and committed adultery with her. He conspired against a man and murdered that man and took that man's wife and then tried to get that man before he killed him to come back and lay with his wife so that he wouldn't be blamed. David did those things, and yet God's covenant was still sure and true with David. And it's called the sure mercy of David. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul speaks of the sure mercy of David. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 34, it says, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, He saith on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. The sure mercies of David were given to the Lord Jesus Christ. The sure mercies of David are given unto us that are in Christ. We have the sure mercies of David. You know what? That means God has established a covenant with us. And that covenant that God has established with us will never be broken. And God will never go back on His Word. And He'll never break His Word with you and I. He will abide by that covenant that He has made. And that covenant says this. I will not go and read it, but you can read it in Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. That covenant says, when you come to Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. That covenant says, when you come to Jesus Christ, you're justified in His sight. You know what justification is? Justification is not just forgiving your sins, but justification is clearing your sins to where you appear just in the sight of God as though you've never sinned. Justification is just as if I've never sinned. That's justification. That covenant says that I've got God's righteousness. I have no righteousness of my own. My righteousness is as filthy rags. But when I came to Jesus Christ, I got God's righteousness according to Romans chapter 3 through faith in Christ. And when God looks at me, He looks at His righteousness, not mine. I've got eternal life. My life is everlasting. It's not going to end tomorrow. It's not going to end next week. You say, oh, you better watch out. You better not say that. You might do some horrible sin. No, my sins have been washed away. Amen. There's a part of me that cannot sin. There's a part of me that does sin. You say, that's a contradiction. It sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. You see, my soul is in a sinful body. And it's my body that sins. But my soul has been cut loose from this body. And it dwells inside this body. And my soul has been saved. And when I die, my soul leaves the body. And goes to be with the Lord. My body goes to a hole in the ground. Therefore, I have eternal, everlasting life. I will never die. Physically, yes. Spiritually, no. God says, come. God says, come, I'll give you a drink. God says, come, and I'll make a covenant with you. I'll give you a promise. I'll make a covenant with you. And then God says, come. Because it's time. It's time right now for you to come. Look back in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Seek the Lord while He may be found. How much time have you spent seeking God? I never spent any time seeking God. Before I got saved, I never spent any time whatsoever seeking God. But I'm thankful that God was seeking me. And I'm thankful God knew exactly where I was. And I'm thankful that God gave me an opportunity and a time. And the time was November the 8th, 1966. And the place was on a street corner in Mobile, Alabama. And that was where the gospel of the grace of God was given to me and preached unto me. And I, by faith, turned from my sin and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that was the time. I recorded the time. In the memory banks of my mind and in my heart, I recorded the time. November 8th, 1966. God gave me a time to find Him. He came to me. He says, here I am. Open your eyes and see what I've done for you. Now's the time. Make the decision. And the Holy Spirit of God convicted my soul and showed me that today was the day of salvation. Right there on that street corner with cars going by and people walking up and down. And I cried out to Jesus and asked the Lord to save me. I cried from the heart. It was a heart cry. And I said, Lord, I see. You died for me. Be my Savior. And God made that everlasting covenant with me. And God gave me eternal life. In God's time, those that come need to come God's time. I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe in chance. I don't play the lottery. I don't go to the casinos. Since I've been saved, I've never played a card game for money. I've never pulled down the lever on a one-arm bandit again. I've never gone to a casino and played the roulette wheel or stood at the crap table and threw the dice. Because I don't believe in chance. I believe God controls everything. I don't believe that you're here just by chance this morning. You see, I believe that God has a purpose. And God has a time. And God has a place. And today's the time, and today, right here's the place that God has given you to find Him. He's leaving the decision up to you. What are you going to do about it? He says, come. I want you. The time is right. Come. Right now. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. You know what always bothers me? Is when somebody gets into a serious accident. They want me to go to that person and try to witness to them. I do. I've gone to the hospital beds and screamed into the ears of people that they said was brain dead. And I put my hands around their ear, and I said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But why wait until some tragic thing happens before summoning the preacher to go and try to give them that last final word? God says, come. 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 He wants man to come while he can be found. To call upon Him right now. To repent while you're sitting there in your right mind and the Spirit of God speaking to your heart saying, come. Come. He's a reasonable God. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be white as snow. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that thirsteth come and drink of the water of life freely. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I took care of it 40 years ago, and I'm glad I did. But there are some in here this morning that have never taken care of it. And you're running out of time. Come. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would send the invitation out loud, strong, and clear to those in here this morning that are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. May they come to You and be saved today. Lord, I know that there are some folks here that need to trust You as their Savior. They've thought about it. They've toyed with the idea. Maybe for a few, this is the first time they've ever really sat down and listened to a preacher preach the Word of God. Father, I don't know, but You know. And we're not here by chance. We're here by Your design and Your purpose. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit would deal with their hearts and draw them to Yourself. Lord, You've said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. And I pray that You would draw them to Yourself today. Lord, may they see You, high and holy, the Savior of the world, the One that died on the cross for their sins, the One that rose from the dead with power over death, over sin, and over the grave. May they come to You and be saved today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Page 252. Page 252.